Let me close the question. How many people will be watching the Super Bowl tonight? How many people will be rooting for the Giants tonight? That's a lot of people. That's a lot of congratulatory phone calls that I will be expected to receive tomorrow after you lose. Is that a private statement? No, actually, it's a funny statement. This game, while I'm rooting for New England, has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I'm going to sleep regardless of who wins. Tonight, I'm going to sleep well. I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to come to work tomorrow. All my schedule for tomorrow is the same. I might have to have a few people laughing at me.
Yeah.
You might be calling me not to congratulate me because you make me eat crow or whatever. But then again, you know, like me, then no one, then few people will call me tomorrow. It'll be an easier day. Now, it's kind of interesting that the Super Bowl ends up on this Sunday of all Sundays. And for those of you who don't like the sports sermons, this is the last football sermon for next fall.
Okay.
You know, they call them the women of the football widows. They start with the widowhood in September, and then today they're rejoicing. They thank God this is over, and they'll deal with it again until August. So I promise, we're not talking about football until August. But one team obviously will win tonight, and then that team is going to celebrate, but they're not going to stop. They're going to say, all right, we want to come back next year, we want to repeat the same thing. We want to stay at the same high level that we're on now. Right? That's what will happen after the game. But let's back up in time and say, what happened before the game? Before the Super Bowl, there was the playoffs. And before the playoffs, there was the regular season. And before the regular season, there was the preseason, way back last August. And my preseason picks actually go to the Super Bowl were the Patriots and the Packers, so I got half of them, right? But imagine back last July in all these football training camps, the coaches of the Patriots and the Giants, do you think that they told their team that they had a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Do you think on the first day of training camp they said, our goal is to go to the Super Bowl?
Probably
all the teams said that. I mean, no one said our goal is to miss the playoffs and go home at Christmas time. Everybody said our goal is to go to the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. Alright? And some coaches probably looked around and said, you probably don't have the talent this year, it's probably a rebuilding year. And some coaches, probably in New York and New England and Green Bay and the perennial stronger teams, probably looked around and said, we've got a lot of talent, and we probably could do it this year. But I would bet you that Bill Belichick and Tom Crawford, the coaches of the Patriots and the Giants, I bet they used another word that you probably wouldn't think of in their opening day remarks in training camp. Anyone want to guess what that word might be?
Faith.
Well, they probably said they have faith. You always got to do that. What?
Preparation.
Perseverance. Do your best. But they probably used the word, humility. Believe it or not. Because they probably said, you know, even though we've got like the best, we think we've got the best team out there, we haven't won anything yet. We seem to learn that lesson every year in Tampa Bay. We win like the first couple games, the Patriots get all excited, this is our year to win, and then it kind of goes down. Right? So you don't start bragging when you haven't won anything. And that is called humility. You just take things one game at a time. Do you think that in the pre-game Super Bowl speeches today that the coaches are going to say, we're playing an inferior opponent? No way. They're going to say, respect your opponent. Because if you don't respect your opponent, they might just beat you. All right, so that is humility. I am not the center of everything. There are other things that I have to respect because they might be greater than I am. Now, why is it providential that Super Bowl Sunday ends up on today of all days? Well, Easter, for the Orthodox Christian, is like our Super Bowl. And Easter is preceded by Holy Week. And Holy Week is preceded by Lent. And Lent is preceded by
Triolio.
Like the pre-Lent, preseason. And so today is the first Sunday of the Triodion. It's the first Sunday of the pre-Lent or the pre-season for Lent. Now after Easter, I meant to say this before, after Easter, when we're all on our spiritual high, we hope to stay there for a while. We hope to come back next Easter on an even higher high. But going backwards, we haven't got to Easter yet. No one has made one Lenten service yet. We haven't done any of those. A few weeks are coming. This week, good news, no fasting. We've got a week off from fasting. So no one will have fasted yet. The preseason started today. No one fasted today. We could all eat our hearts out on Super Bowl Sunday. But no one has done any Lenten things yet. So the first lesson that God teaches us as we approach this holy season, this preseason for Lent, is humility. To be humble. We haven't accomplished anything yet. And one of the ways to look at humility is not how far we've come, but how far we have to go. We meet two people today in the gospel lesson who come into the temple to pray. And one of them is looking at himself compared to other people. He comes right up to the front of the temple. The Bible says he prays with himself. God, thank you that I'm not like other people. Unjust, adulterers, and thank God I'm not like that low-life tax collector that's in the back of the church. I'm fasting, I'm praying. I'm good. And fasting and praying, those are good things that the Pharisee was doing. The publican, the tax collector, stands in the very back of the church, bows his head, looking at nothing but into his own heart. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, we've all seen these video images where they have like a time-lapse video, and you kind of rush through like all the seasons of your life or all the scenes of the day, and time goes by very, very quickly. So imagine that you time-lapse through all the seasons of your life very quickly, and we strip away your career, your family, your friends, and everybody in this church, and we just rush into the moment that you're standing in front of God Almighty. Not God your friend, not God your pal, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. And you stand in front of Him. What are you going to say? Thank you, God, that I'm not like all those other people in the church. I pray. I fast. I mean, come on, I got to be in. I work at the festival. I took it to me and you. Or are you going to say to God, pity me. Pity me in all my inadequacies. Pity me. Please pity me. And please open the door. And please let me come in there. I know I don't deserve it, but give me a break. I know I've screwed up more times than I can possibly count. But please pity me and open the door for me. And God is telling us that this is the disposition that we have in order to go into heaven. God, be merciful to me. God, take pity on me. God, have compassion on me. Open the doors to me. That's humility. To go to God and say, here's my resume. It's pretty impressive. So move out of the way. I'm coming in. That's pride. That's not going to get us in. The prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, figures very prominently in the liturgy. If you listen carefully, I say it probably 30 times during the liturgy. At every important point of the liturgy, the priest is going to say that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Pity me before the great entrance when I pick up the gifts. Don't strike me down as I'm daring to hold the body and blood of Christ. Pity me as I'm kneeling, asking the Holy Spirit to come down here. It's not an act of entitlement just because it's Sunday and we all have a church and I get my robes on and we can go in front of the altar and say, okay, Lord, do that thing you do. We're all here for it. It's an act of mercy and pity. We say, God, please have mercy on us and send down the Holy Spirit. Have mercy on me that I receive communion and don't just get eviscerated like cool, like fire touching me. So that prayer of God be merciful to me is something that we should all be saying all the time. God be merciful to me in the decisions that I'm making. God be merciful to me when I've made an error. God be merciful to me when I go to bed at night and let me wake up tomorrow. God be merciful to me when I'm trying to do the right thing for my child or in my career or in my marriage. Be merciful to me. Have pity on my brain that doesn't work right all the time and help me do the right thing. This is what it means to be humble. Now the good news for us as Christians is that unlike the football teams in the NFL, when they get together in the preseason, I mean, some teams know, really, in their heart of hearts, that this is not their year. But for everybody in the church, Easter is 10 minutes away for all of us. And there's a chance for anybody in this church to feel exalted on Easter. Everybody. If you've never said a prayer in your life, you've got 10 weeks and you can be exalted. If you don't really understand what we're doing here, you've got 10 weeks and you can be exalted. Whether you have talent, whether you have money, whether you have a family, whether you have anything, you too can be exalted. And that is good news. But the first step to exaltation is humility. Realizing I haven't done anything yet. And instead of looking at how far I've come, looking instead at how far I have to go. So with that, I wish you a wonderful day, and sports is entertaining, so don't lose any sleep over it. I hope at least, regardless of who wins, at least it's an interesting game. It goes to the fourth quarter, and as always, I'm sure the commercials will be good. I'll sleep through the halftime show, just to make up some of that sleep I lost last night, but I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day. Amen.
Yes, yeah.